We kicked off our Christmas series that we have called Christmas at the Movies. So tonight, we have a little Christmas clip to play. So if you guys would, direct your attention to the screen.
It rains, Panties from heaven.
Shooby dooby.
Don't you know each cloud contains Panties from heaven?
Shooby dooby.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down and trading for a package of sunshine and ravioli.
Macaroni.
If you want the thing you love,
you did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you. Hi.
Now come over here, boy. Sam. And every time it rains. And don't you know it's crocodile? Every time it rains, don't you know it's crocodile?
Sit. Sit.
All over town, all over town, all over town.
Thank you.
Be sure that your umbrella.
Thank you.
It's upside down, we live up. How about those hills are right? Eagle, I'm a hungry. Zumbaloo, the Zumbaloo. Oh, Bartley boys, oi. Hey, Baba, ha, boy. Ooh, Bada, ha, man. Woody, woo. Woo! I knew I'd get you, I knew I'd get you. Let's go, let's go. Let's go. All over town, getting panties from heaven. Panties from heaven. Panties from heaven for you and me.
Wow. Give it up for Elf. Who hasn't seen that movie? Okay, good. We are all cultured. Good job, everyone. Give yourselves a hand for having seen the movie Elf. Yay. A resounding yay. Okay, have you guys ever done that thing from the movie Elf with the escalator? You guys know what I'm talking about? When he puts the 1 foot and it just keeps going and then you end up doing the splits. What are some other like iconic things that we get from Elf? The spaghetti, have you guys tried that? The spaghetti before? Has anyone? I don't know if I have actually, to be honest. I thought maybe somebody would have, but I didn't. Whatever. If you can finish this, that's good. I want you guys to sing it back to me, when I hold the microphone out to you. He goes, I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store.
And I'm singing.
Wow, that was good. Thank you. Beautiful voices. Beautiful voices. What else? What else? I do like the crosswalk thing, the jump thing. I definitely have done before. Elf is just one of those iconic movies, you know, it just like sticks with you. There was the one thing that this scene, at least that I wanted to focus on tonight, was what does he read at the end? Is how does he explain his journey from the North Pole? What does he do? He's like, he leaves like Mr. Narwhal, and then he says that he went to the candy cane forest and traveled through the swirly twirly gumdrops, and then he walked through the Lincoln Tunnel, yes, yes, his long journey. And then when he got to New York, he had quite a time eating. The gum on the handrails really does it for me. That's just the worst scene ever. I, like, want to try to figure out how they did that in the movie, but I just can't figure out how they would have done that. I know it was probably real, but like, was it his first, or did he just really eat someone? I have no idea. I can't figure it out. Okay, two things before we get started. We're going to start calling them the two T's of Harvest Youth. The two T's, which is take notes and talk back. Take notes and talk back. So take notes, write down things that you love. If something stands out to you, write it down. Try not to be on your phone for other things. The Lord is watching and Santa's watching too. So if you don't end up on the naughty list, you know what to do. Yeah, I know, right? It was like the Lord's watching you guys are like, oh, okay. And then I said Santa and you're like, shoot, I got to get serious. Don't want to get coal in my stocking. So then the other one is talk back. So if something's good, I want to hear it from you guys. You say that's good. You say amen. You say yes. You say got it. You say whatever. So if there's something, or just, you know, hit me with a good, that's good. You know, like, yeah. Because silence, man, I feel like you guys are dead out there. So hate it. So before we get started, let's pray. So why don't we turn our attention to the Lord. Jesus, thank you so much for everything that you are, everything that you do, each and every day. God, we are so grateful for you. Lord, we thank you that we get to gather tonight, learn more about you, and just the reason that we're even here today. So we love you, God. And everyone said amen? Amen. Alrighty. So we're going to read some scripture first. Is that good? Okay. So open it up to Luke 2, 1 through 7. We're reading out of NIV tonight, changing it up on ya. Luke 2, and we're starting at verse 1. It's literally the birth of Jesus. Susanna asked me, what are you speaking on tonight, Sky? And I said, Jesus. And that is what amen. Shout out. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read Luke 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. I don't think I said that right, but that's fine. And everyone to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So last week we talked about when Mary found out that she was going to have a baby, right? So we talked about how crazy it would be, just the reality of what she was going to have to do, but how she modeled such grace through that. And though even though it was scary, like God was going to do something incredible through her obedience and through her yes. And so that is exciting. And so that's where we come to. Obviously, they said, hey, you're going to have the Holy Spirit said you're going to have a baby. And now she's pregnant. She's getting ready to have this baby. And what happens? A man named Caesar, and we're not talking little Caesars here, though that is the guy that it's modeled after. Isn't that great? The way that he went down in history was having a pizza chain named after him later. I feel like it went downhill, you know? Like, I feel like he was up here, and now he's like, you know, his stuffed crust, $5 pizzas. It's like, ooh, yikes. He really went off the deep end there. Oh, my gosh. So what was happening here? And some of you guys might know, some of you guys might not know, so I'm going to try to explain it to you. The Roman census was a registration to get, really, the number of people so that they could tax for the Roman military. So pretty much, the reason that they were going to have to travel to the town of David, to Bethlehem, was so the Roman government could know, hey, you exist. That means we have to have you down, and we can get money from you for our military and for our government. God, wouldn't that just be the worst to benefit somebody else, and you're just like, gotta go all this way to go give them my money, I guess. Like, I would just hide. I don't know what I would have done, but that wouldn't have been mine. The Jews weren't required to serve in the army. They weren't asked to be Roman soldiers and wear the, you know, the little plume hats? Yeah, we love the plume hats. They weren't required to wear those, but they could not avoid paying taxes. And what we know in this, and if we know the end of the story, we know that this decree went out in God's perfect timing. And you can see how annoying it would be to have to travel. So here Joseph is, not only to travel to go give someone another, a different government money because they're going to tax them. It's like, dang, this is awful. Well, then also your wife is pregnant and it's also not around the corner. The place that they were going to was not around the corner. So in obedience, Joseph complied with this order to make the long trip to pay his taxes with his 9-month pregnant wife. I was trying to think, do we have something really heavy? Like, do you guys just see something a little bit, like the weight of a baby maybe? Like a good 10 pounds? You see the guitar? Brennan, no, that's so me, absolutely not. You got that cajon? I'm not gonna make them whole. You think that the box drum's 10 pounds? Something like that? I'm trying to think, what could we, I really wanted to plan this. What do you say? One of the stands. I feel like a water bottle would be. How about this? You guys get some stuff together. Everybody grab something heavy and put it in this backpack. Hurry. Put it in the backpack. Oh God, we got Bible, we got some water bottles. Oh my Lord. Okay. How about that will be good enough? Okay, somebody zip that up for me. Somebody zip that up for me.
Okay. I think we got one already.
That's good. We'll fit. Oh, while you're up here. Grayson, can you come here? Actually, he's gonna be Mary. Can you put this on the front of you real fast? Oh, the baby. Everybody take a good look at Mary. And while he's, so go ahead and just stand there for a little bit. We're gonna stand there. So I'm gonna tell you guys, I'm gonna read this out to you. So do you guys know how far it was for Joseph and Mary to travel? Have you guys ever heard that before? It was like 90 miles. 90 miles. And just think how long it would take you to travel 90 miles here. It's not the shortest time. You said 2 hours? Andrew, 2 hours by car. Great. On the highway. Did they have a highway? Did they have cars? No. And I'm going to tell you this. They didn't even have a wagon or a horse. They had a little donkey. They had a little donkey. So here they are, pregnant wife. It's like walking to Williamsburg while you're pregnant with maybe a donkey. And all your provisions. So just think about your school backpack. Maybe like what you guys would pack for a retreat or something, and you put it in your duffel bag and whatever. So you got your duffel bag. You got a donkey. Maybe you're carrying your water and your food for the next couple days. Because let me tell you guys this. There weren't any 7-Elevens on the way. You know, the golden arches were not in front of them. They were not going to see McDonald's around the corner. So they had to carry everything that they had for these days of travel with them before they got to Bethlehem. And that's insane. Oh, and get this. It was probably around 40 degrees while they were traveling. 40 degrees outside while they were traveling on this donkey, 90 miles. She's pregnant. This is crazy. I'm going to tell you guys a story. This is just going to show how much I wouldn't have survived in the time of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A month ago, I went to go visit a friend that I have made recently. She lives up in Northern Virginia, and while she's there, she said, let's go hiking. And I was like, yeah, great. I'm not a hiker, you guys. I'll tell you this, and I'm exposing myself here a little bit. I have been on online dating apps before. I have. And you're like, oh my God, I'm crazy. Here I am. And one of the things that I see on a lot of these things are guys who say, I love to go hiking. I love the outdoors. I love all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, do I fake it? Do I tell them that I enjoy hiking too? And that I love the outdoors? I do not. I somewhat like the outdoors, but it's like, drive me up to the scenic route, like the scenic look. You know, like, I don't want to walk there. So I say, yeah, you know, this is a new friend that I have. And I'm like, yeah, let's go hiking. That's going to be super fun. And so we get to this place, and I said, listen here, though. I haven't been to the gym in like 5 months. I haven't been able to breathe very well recently because post-COVID and because I haven't been going to the gym, all those things together, I am kind of a wimp. And so she says, don't worry. It's all flat. It's practically a walk through the woods. I was like, yes, my kind of girl, my kind of hike here. I'm like, yes, here we go. And so here we drive up to the place. She's like, this is so, I'm like, yeah, this is great. I'm so excited. And I'm like, do I need my water bottle? She's like, no, leave it. I'm like, awesome, cool. I have asthma. I'm going to put that in a little aside here right now. And so we get to the place where we're about to walk up. And I see a mountain before me. And it's just vertical, you know? Like, it's just a straight up mountain. And it's not short. It's not like a little hill that I'm running up and then I'm done, like whatever. It is a long mountain trail. And I'm just looking up, I'm like, Julia, why would you do this to me? And she's like, man, I forgot how big this part is. I forgot how crazy this was going to be. And I was like, okay. And so we kind of start walking. And she's like, oh, don't bother breathing, like trying to control your breathing. Like, I'm going to be breathing heavy, girl. And I'm like, I'm already starting. I'm sorry. Like, I can't. Oh, God. And so we're walking, and I'm like, yeah, I have asthma, and I don't have my inhaler on me right now. And she was like, what? We're turning around right now. I'm like, oh, God, I'm good. We get halfway, like maybe a quarter way up, and I'm like, I got to stop. And so I sit there for like probably a good 5 minutes just trying to get my breathing under control. And then we're like, all right, let's keep going because we're only a fourth of the way up the mountain. So we go again, and we stop like four separate times, me getting up this napkin or this mountain, and she goes, man, like, what am I going to tell people if I kill my new best friend that I've just made to going hiking? And I'm like, I don't know. Just don't tell them that I died walking up this hill. Like just don't expose me like that. Say someone attacked me. Like, make me a martyr. But don't tell them that I died because I couldn't breathe going up a small hill. So anyways, it was a real tough journey for me in that moment. After that, it was literally all downhill. It was super nice, really pretty. And I was fine. But man, in that moment, that was a tough journey. But then I read all this information about Mary walking with her donkey, walking with her baby in her belly, and all of her provisions. So like, I really wish that I had a duffel bag full of stuff also for you to carry with your child, Grayson. But in the meantime, this is going to be fine. By the way, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Getting a little tired. Yeah.
Does your back hurt?
Does your
lower back hurt a little bit?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay, should we keep him up here for a little bit?
About 5 miles in.
Keep him up here for a little bit? No, I'm just kidding. Well, it's not a comfortable thing, is it?
No. It's you have to readjust these.
Yeah, he keeps having her.
I don't think Mary would have had to do that, but she would have been like.
Yeah. She would have had to adjust the belly a little bit. And it's been maybe 3 minutes. If you had to walk 90 miles or ride a donkey for a little bit and you had this baby and it probably took you about a week to make the walk to Williamsburg.
The baby would have been born on the donkey. Yeah. Not in the main. We wouldn't have made it to like Jerusalem.
You can already feel the baby just coming. What? Okay.
I can't walk anymore.
He gives up. All right, well, give it up for Grayson, our Mary for the moment. I really want one of you guys to have to, actually, one of the rest of you guys, come up here. Come here, Laura.
Yeah.
Get up here. I'm not going to make you stand up here for a long time, but just for your point of reference, put that on real fast.
I was
about to marry. This is like my backpack.
How does that feel?
Fine.
It feels fine?
Yeah.
Do you think after 90 miles walking that you'd feel fine?
No.
No? How far do you think you could walk successfully with that?
Yeah.
Across the room? Okay, point taken. There we go. Give it up for Laura. Give it up for Laura. She says across the room. I just wanted to show you guys how honestly intense that would have been. Thank you for grabbing that bag. But these parents, Mary and Joseph, were very obedient to God despite this uncomfortable journey. Guys, sometimes don't we like get uncomfortable in road trips with our friends, with our siblings, whatever, and we're in the car and we're just like pushing each other over, get out of my space, I wanna spread out, or maybe we're just mad because they're stealing our snacks or whatever. Sometimes road trips can be uncomfortable, you know, especially when you're in there, but imagine having to walk that whole way instead of drive. I can't imagine it. It was an uncomfortable journey. Nothing went according to plan. Let's just get that straight. I'm sure Joseph didn't want to go at the time that his wife was going to give birth, but that's when the decree was sent out. I'm sure they're just chilling. They're just hanging out. Yay, we're going to have a great home birth. They've got their doula set up, whatever it is that they had that time, their doctor. They didn't have doctors, but they had somebody come and help them give birth. And here we get this decree. Actually, it's 90 miles away. Go ahead. Joseph's probably like, are you kidding me? What else do we know when we get there? There's no room at the Motel 6. There's no room at the Super 8 Motel. There's no room at the Comfort Inn and Suites. But there is room at the stable in the back of someone's house of residence. I've heard it's also a cave that was used for a stable. We don't know what it is, but whatever it was, it definitely was not a 5-star hotel or a hospital bed, but it was God's plan. What you guys need to know is that Jesus was prophesied to be born in this very town. This place that they were going to be sent to was prophecy, even though he didn't live there, but they were there because his parents were descendants of David, and David was born in the town of Bethlehem, and so that's where all the descendants were sent. The person who made this prophecy, it's in Micah 5:2, had no idea Jesus was coming. He had no idea where Jesus' parents would be at the time. He didn't even know his name would be Jesus. He just knew that there was going to be a coming Messiah. He'd be born in the town of Bethlehem, and what the heck? Here they are, Mary and Joseph, told they're going to give birth to the Son of God. And hey, hike on over to Bethlehem. And it happens at the exact time. And it is fulfillment of prophecy. I know I said something about the golden arches. What is that? McDonald's. And isn't it nice when you're on a road trip and you do see that sign and you're so hungry and you know your parents start pulling off that exit and you're like, yes, I'm going to get me a Big Mac. I'm going to get, if it's breakfast, you're going to get me some hash browns, McDonald's hash browns. Can I get an amen? I'm going to get some 10-piece nuggets, maybe 20-piece if you're just feeling crazy. Nathaniel's like, me, I'm a 20-piece back here. This is not that, I'll say that, but what this is, Jesus being born in the town of Bethlehem is like a neon sign of hope. In the moment that you see McDonald's and you're so hungry, and that's like your neon sign for hope, you're like, finally, I'm going to get me some food. But here's Jesus. This fulfillment of prophecy is the neon sign that says, this is the Messiah. This is the person you've been waiting for all this time. It is fulfillment of prophecy. God's plan was so much greater than they could have ever known, than any of us could have ever known. I'm going to continue into verse 6 and 7, and then we're going to kind of start to wrap up here. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So Jesus is officially born. Jesus is born. And so from this, I'm going to give you guys two things to take home, kind of two things for us to learn, two things to apply to ourselves. So if you haven't been taking notes to this point, that's okay. But go ahead and write at least this first point down that says, we should not limit God by our expectations. We should not limit God by our expectations. We have lots of expectations for things all the time. Maybe it's right now you guys are expecting a certain Christmas gift. You know, you sent your parents the list. You sent your aunts and uncles, your grandparents, whoever it is in your life, you've sent them your list. And maybe your expectations are a little bit too high. Maybe you've kept them low. Maybe you're smart this year and you kept them a little bit low. But sometimes we have expectations for things that can be met or not met. But here is Jesus. And let's just say, he did not meet the expectations of the Jews. First thing that we know from Jesus is that Jesus is born in humility. Jesus is born in humility. I'm going to tell you guys a story. When I was like 10, I was in a church Christmas play. Have you guys ever done the church Christmas play vibe? Been in a school Christmas play? Who's played like a farm animal? Who played the farm animals in the room? Yeah, yeah. Who had a person character? Any shepherds? Yeah. Any wise men? Yeah, shepherds. Yep. Any Marys in the room? Any Marys or Josephs? Here you go. The Christmas plays. Well, I was in a Christmas play, but I wasn't actually playing anybody. I had a solo. I was singing a song, and I had a solo. 10 years old, I was the star, and I knew it. I felt it. I was so excited. Not like the Star of David, but I was the star of the show. But here I am. I have this big solo for this song that I've just wanted to sing. I requested it from my choir director. I was like, please put me on this song. I'm so excited for it. And man, my pride was up here. Ooh, I was excited. I was ready to show off. I was ready to be the main focus of the Christmas play, which is not the point of a Christmas play at all. No way is that the point. But here I am. I'm ready. I've been practicing. I'm in front, literally, picture this, everybody. Here I am, Sky. Actually, I'm going to put myself up here. Here I am. And behind me, a rafter of small children to be my choir for this song. Wow, it was going to be a majestic moment. I was wearing all white. I was dressed like an angel. Everyone else was angels, and I was about to lead this song. And right as it starts, this build-up, I'm so excited. I'm so ready. I've kind of been nervous a little bit, you know, those little nervous feelings you get before you perform, before you're in front of anybody. And as soon as the song starts, as soon as I open my mouth, my mic is not on. My mic is not working. But the song is going. And I, a 10-year-old, am up there in front of a very large church at the time, singing as loud as I possibly can, and nobody can hear me. And then the choir kicks in, we sing the rest of the song, and my pride from here was down here by the time that I got off the stage. And man, I left sobbing. I was like so embarrassed, like, why could this happen to me? Like, whatever, it was supposed to be my big moment. I was supposed to get my American Idol contract through this. I don't know what I was expecting, my invitation to go try out for The Voice. I was just ready, you know, and here I was. I was crushed. I was definitely put into a humble situation. My heart was humbled. Jesus, how would you expect just a king to enter? Have you guys seen the movie Aladdin? When like Aladdin walks in on the camel and he has the big display and they're singing Prince Ali. Yeah, so here he is, and he's got 10 knights and the camels and the gold and the money and the peacocks. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, the coming Messiah, born as a baby in a stable. And he is placed in a feeding trough because there was no room for them to even have a real bed to be on. He was put into a stable in a manger, and he was born as a baby. Neither of these were expected for a great king. That was not expected for Jesus in any way, shape, or form. But it is a perfect way for our king to enter the room. It's the perfect way for Jesus. Do you guys know why? I'm going to tell you if you don't know why. It is Philippians 2, 6 through 7. I'm going to read this really fast. So if you need to, go ahead and shake yourself, wake up, get ready. Here we go. Philippians 2, 6 through 7 says, who being in very nature God, this is Jesus he's talking about, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. This is a very humbling verse for me, even thinking of 10-year-old Sky in this moment, who literally was trying to elevate herself to the nth degree on a night to be celebrating Jesus. He's literally God, and he says, this is actually not something to be used to my advantage, so I'm actually going to make myself a servant and be made as a human. But his humility did not stop in the stables. His humility didn't stop when he was born just as a baby. It continues, Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. My next point that I want you guys to write down is, we must not leave Jesus in the manger. We must not leave Jesus in the manger. I have a question for you guys, and I want you to answer it honestly to yourself in your head. Do you picture Jesus as a baby, or is he your Lord? Do you picture Jesus still as a baby, or is he your Lord? Did you guys ever have those little nativity scenes in your houses, or like see them at church or your grandparents' houses or whoever it was, and it had the little figurines, and you like mess with them. Maybe you like move them around like it's a little dollhouse. I don't know what it was, but I definitely had, my grandparents had those, and so I know growing up when I was like 2-3 years old, up until probably now if I went back, to be honest, I would just play with the little baby Jesus in the manger. I'd kind of move him around. I just remember kind of like messing with him. And that is just like, that was just Jesus for me growing up. I see Jesus that way, or saw Jesus that way. And that's how he kind of stayed for me for a while, because that was just such a peaceful picture of Jesus, the Son of God. But Philippians 2:9-11, it continues in that same passage. It says, therefore, God highly exalted him. So it says, even death on a cross. And so it says, therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you guys open that up on your Bibles, Philippians 2:9-11? I'm going to ask you guys to read that out loud with me, because I think that it is very important. I think that that is NIV, but I am not entirely sure. I wish I had it for the screen. But whatever it is, just read it, Philippians 2:9-11. Whatever you have on your phone, just read it out loud. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wish I did have that translation. That would have been better. That would have been better, but that's okay. It might have been NLT, yeah. That might have been from my Bible. But every knee should bow. And that's what happened when he followed the lines of humility up to the point where he died on the cross. That is where Jesus exalted him to the point of being our Lord. Jesus didn't stay a baby. Jesus didn't stay in that cute nativity, little baby manger, and on swaddling clothes, and oh my gosh, the silent night, the holy night. Like, that's not where Jesus stayed. He grew up to save us from ourselves. He grew up to die on a cross, to rise again, to have relationship with us. He's not just a baby in a manger. He's not just a friend. He's not just a father, but he's also our Lord. So my question is, do you see Jesus as just a baby, just a friend, just a father, or is he actually Lord of your life? Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? He's so much the Lord of the world that every knee should bow. Not just the ones that feel extra spiritual in the moment and get on their knees and worship. That is, every knee should bow. And when Jesus returns to this earth, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He is your Lord. I'm going to read this out to you guys. I saw this quote and I just really loved it. I forgot to write down the who said it, so you know, Lord, you know who wrote this. It says, the omnipotent creator of the universe assumes human flesh and is born of a poor young Jewish virgin named Mary, birthed in a stable and laid in a manger of poverty. Heaven comes down to earth. The light of humanity enters the world through the womb of Mary, the mother of God, where men shun and reject him. God becomes man and takes the form of a slave in service to all. And all the while, the cross stands erect on the horizon of his earthly life as Jesus of Nazareth. Fall on your knees. Why does that song say that? Why does that song say, fall on your knees? Because he is Lord, because he should be Lord of your life. This is the omnipotent creator of the universe that we're talking about. That's who we're learning about. That's who we're praising in this moment. And I feel like a lot of us take advantage of this time, and we sing songs and we praise and we maybe are talking to our friends or we're just kind of standing there. This is the omnipotent creator of the universe. This is Jesus still, not just a baby, but he came as a baby, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the grave. But all the while, it's God humbling himself in human form, and that is who we are worshiping. And so in the moments that we are here and we're praising God and throughout our lives, throughout our days when we're worshiping or praising God, or maybe we're not, we should know that everything that we do, every prayer that we pray, every action that we take is ultimately glorifying God, or it's not glorifying God. Is he Lord of your life, or is he not? Only you can answer that question. Only you know where God is in your heart, in your mind, in your life, what pedestal you have him on or you have yourself on. That is your question to answer. But that is the Jesus that we learn about in the Christmas story. That's the Jesus that we celebrate through these months. We can get really caught up in our own stuff this month. We can get caught up in a lot of drama. We can get caught up in a lot of anxiety or maybe nervousness or the presence or the good stuff. Like there's a lot of stuff going on right now. But ultimately, we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. We're celebrating the birth of God in human form here on this earth. And we're celebrating our chance to spend eternity with him. So what I want us to do, and this is just going to be an interesting little thing for us. And honestly, I'm going to let you guys choose for yourselves. But I'm going to have Galen, I'll have you up there, just to allow the rest of the worship team a chance. Sorry, Galen. But I want us to fall on our knees tonight. I want us to worship God in a posture that might be unfamiliar to us, uncomfortable to us, but it's what Scripture says that we do in the presence of God to worship him. And so wherever you need to go in the room, do it. I'm going to ask that the lights are turned down. You guys can have some privacy, but we're going to praise. We're going to sing. You guys can come up here if you really just want this to be a time for you guys and you and God, and you don't want to focus on anyone else. You guys can spread out back there. You can be in your aisle, but I'm just going to ask that everybody just get on your knees, and we're going to praise God. We're going to worship him tonight because that is what he deserves because of what he has done and who he is. So why don't you guys stand? Find your place, and I'm just going to pray us into this moment. Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. God, we thank you so much, Jesus, for everything that you've done, who you are, what you've sacrificed for us, God. We thank you, Lord, that in that night when you came as a baby and you were just so still, you were so humble, you presented yourself as the king that you are, not some flashy just show, but you are a servant. You came to serve us, to die for us, and you love us so much through that, God. We are so grateful. Lord, we praise you in this moment. And God, as we are on our knees before you, let our worship be so pleasing. God, we lift you up in this moment. We honor you in this moment, Lord. We praise you, God. In your name, amen.
wishes. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Emmanuel, God with us.